Welcome back to the home of explanations. You've got the second full hour of More Than Money ahead of us. 52 and a half minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. Gives you the opportunity to get your questions asked and answered. You can do it a number of different ways. Easiest, old school, works very, very well. 610-720-7900. Just call 610-720-7900. If you wish to send us an email, that works very nicely indeed. Gene@askmtm.com, G-E-N-E at A-S-K-M-T-M.com. And if you're further afield or if you'd like to have super clear signal, all you have to do is log on to morethanmoneyonline.com. And through the miracles of iHeartMedia, you can listen wherever you have internet. We have listeners coast to coast. And George Norrie aside, I think that that speaks volumes. 610-720-7900. One of our favorite listeners points out that having heard me mention about our super important email that went out last week, he recognized he did not see it. So he went searching and found it in his spam filter. So he shares this to let you know that you are a tax preparation client of MTM's, you've been with us in the past, and you're saying to yourself, super important email, don't remember seeing it. That might be an indication that you would like to check your spam filter. Or in the alternative, because somebody says to me, check your spam filter. I'm going, okay, how exactly would I do that? If you have not received the super important email about how best to get your tax return prepared this year, most easily done for the lowest possible cost, shoot me an email. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, and just request super important email. And we'll make sure we absolutely get that to you. And Dennis, thank you so much. Thank you for the heads up and the very wise advice indeed. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. One of our most loyal listeners and most helpful as well. He's always assisting us with questions, particularly on the tax side. Sent us this email. We recently had to move my 90-year-old mother-in-law into an assisted living facility. Thank you, sir. She is in generally good health, but she will require rehab after some recent surgery, and her home has become too much for her to look after herself. She has two long-term care policies that we've been paying premiums on, that she's been paying premiums on for over 30 years. Bless her. Each policy covers different things, different periods of time. My wife has been trying to sort things out. She's been getting the runaround when she calls each insurance company, getting shuffled to different people who all give her conflicting information. We understand that it's in the best interest of the insurance company to make these things as difficult as possible. Boy, it sure feels that way. For the policyholder, in order to keep their liability down, but the process is extremely frustrating. Absolutely true. Is there such a thing as a consulting insurance broker? Someone whom we could consult on a fixed fee basis who could interpret exactly what the policies cover, how we could get in touch with the right people at the companies, and the most advantageous way for us to collect on them. Outstanding question, and one that applies to lots of folks listening. In my experience, folks that would be most beneficial to you and your mom are likely to come from one of two sources. Either a long-term care specialist, one that represents multiple companies. If you're working with a long-term care specialist who happens to work for only one company, I'm picking on John Hancock, for example, and the companies that you're looking at are not John Hancock, the benefits are going to be minimal. You're going to get maybe a little bit of insight, but not very much help. in the More Than Money World headquarters were very, very lucky to have Mike Pompei of Ash Brokerage. He's with us on a regular basis and spends time regularly. Most of the time he's with us, he's spending the day with us, which is fantastic. And Ash Brokerage represents dozens of long-term care companies, has had experience with dozens more, and might very well be in a position to give you the kind of counsel that you need. The second source that you might look to is the nursing home facility itself. They are, understandably, highly motivated to help their patients figure out ways to pay their bills. In addition, they are likely, if the people you're dealing with have been affiliated with that institution for any length of time at all, they're likely to have experience with those various long-term care companies that your mother-in-law's policies have been issued by. So I would certainly look to the facility to see if they have resource that might be able to assist you. And secondarily, you are absolutely welcome to reach out to us and come visit with Mike Pompei in our office and take advantage of all his experience and all the resources that come from Ash Brokerage, which is admittedly the largest independently owned insurance agency in the country. So their resources are substantial. So hopefully we can help. 610-720-7900. Gene@askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Last week we had one of our favorite audience members ask a question about LIRPs. L-I-R-P. What's a LIRP? And my silliness aside. Yeah, there's no silliness aside. My first instinct was I've never heard of it. My second instinct was if I had to guess, it would be life insurance retirement plan. And one of our More Than Money audience members brought to me this week an invite that he received from a company offering LARPs and indeed offering to buy dinner at a very nice restaurant. It's a very, very nice restaurant. And theoretically, the topic of, where is the topic? Other than LARPs, keys to retiring in a tax-free in today's economy. Life insurance retirement plans is LARP is a made-up name. If you counsel, refer to, do your research with the IRS for retirement plans and then look for the life insurance retirement plan, you're not going to find it. It doesn't exist. It is a variation of a theme. If you listen to WAEB, you have often heard bankonyourself.com. Pamela Yellen, been around literally forever, 40 years plus. She's been many, many different things in the financial world. Now her claim to fame is that you've heard the ads. You got to get out of your IRAs. You got to get out of 401ks because this beats the stuffings out of it. It's life insurance. A quality, trusted professional would explain to you that while life insurance has some savings components and some life insurance actually has some investment components, the very nature of the life insurance contract makes it a very poor retirement plan. What makes their pitch interesting is the at least theoretical opportunity that you can get your retirement income tax-free. And the theory being that you pay in over many, many years and build up cash value and then withdraw the cash value by taking a loan against the insurance policy, which is income tax-free. The internal rates of return that we have seen over any length of period of time, substantial length of period of time at all, are in the low 3% range. If you want tax-free income in retirement and want reasonable rates of return, or have at least the possibility of reasonable rates of return, the term Roth IRA or Roth 401k comes to mind. So LARPs, I think it's every bit as good as the way it sounds when I pronounce it as goofy as I possibly can. LARP. Excuse me. I had a sausage biscuit for breakfast. LARP. That's the way it sounds to me. 610-720-7900. We go back to the phones. We talk to Alex. Alex, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. I like your show very much. I listen every week. It's a great show.
You're very kind. Thank you so much. How may we serve you?
Okay, I have two questions.
Sure.
Usually when I do my taxes, I do have a tax professional, but for example, I'll give them the property taxes I paid, my medical, my church money I gave. Now, how is that changing this year?
Yeah,
it's 2018.
Right.
I'll give them now.
It's changed quite a bit. Are you married or single?
Single.
Then you have what's referred to as a standard deduction amount that's now $12,000.
Okay.
So if your real estate taxes, any interest that you might have paid, medical expenses, and charitable contributions, if that doesn't total at least $12,000.
Yes.
You don't need to provide any of that to your tax preparer because your standard deduction is higher than your actual deduction.
Oh, good. That's what I was wondering.
Yes. So it's going to make for many people life much easier. Married couples have a $24,000 standard deduction. Single people have a $12,000 standard deduction. And the IRS estimates that that will reduce the number of people that are itemizing their tax return using what you have done in the past, all those individual deductions. It's going to drop it to a 10% number. 90% of Americans will no longer be itemizing.
Okay. Now, is that mine is very simple, but is that the basic big change this year?
Oh, yes. If your tax return is fairly simple, that's the basic big change.
Okay, good. Now, I have one more question.
Sure.
I'm in good shape right now. I'm 70. I'm in great shape. I own my own home. I take care of everything. But my brother and I have been talking because I have no children. And we're just wondering, what do people do when they're 80 and say, okay, I think I'm messing up my checkbook now? Who can you hire to help you out that would be honest to help you in that manner?
You have actually described exactly the situation that many people throughout the Lehigh Valley have found themselves in, because whether they have no children themselves or whether their children now live in California, Arizona, and Florida, the situation is exactly the same, which is I'm a little concerned that I might not be handling this as well as it should be handled. There are companies, particularly those attached to either tax preparation companies or accounting firms, that provide those services. Some very basic bill paying services, for example, very basic, where the client brings in their the mail they've received that appears to be required to be paid, the bills to be paid, service that you're paying for writes out the checks, and the client signs all the checks. They walk them through that on a monthly basis. It might take an hour or two, and it's very, very simple. In other cases, of course, the services that are required are a little more extensive. There may be issues around medical concerns, dealing with medical providers. There may be concerns about the home, making sure that the home is in good order and that the maintenance is being done appropriately and properly, and that the client's not being overcharged. And so it can go from a very basic service of bill paying to a fairly extensive service where, in essence, you've hired a it's a goofy phrase in my mind, but the term that's being used is financial concierge. You're basically picking from a menu of almost anything that you need to have done for you, and you have a professional that is licensed and bonded and has professional insurance and has that experience to provide exactly those services should you need them.
Really? So that's something that is out there that we could find.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Oh, I just didn't know.
Oh, absolutely. And because, God bless you, you're in great shape, you're young, you're healthy, there's no reason up to this point for you to know that. But by asking the question, now you know that's an option. And those options can be found very inexpensively, very reasonably, provided by very good people. It's a little bit of peace of mind.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Gene.
Oh, Alex, thank you for the call. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I think we should have Alex on every week. She's got a great voice. She's got great energy. Smart lady. I think, Greg, you're out. Do you have a question for me? All right. So you're still thinking. You're still thinking. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. So many of you send me invitations that you're getting to these. Dude, that steak looks good. John uses a free meal to lure me back into the studio after breaks. Hey, we got a breakfast for you. Really? No, I'm just messing with you. This one, gosh, I'm not even sure they tell you what they're talking about. It's gotten to the point where I guess they figure, different retirement strategies. Boy, talk about making that the least important issue. They lead with complimentary gourmet meal, and then here's where you come for your meal and the meal. And oh, by the way, here's what we're going to talk about. Where you should never put your IRAs. Sounds like a personal problem to me. How to avoid taxes and IRAs. Look, if you get these things and you're like wondering, just call 610-720-7900. I can save you the hassle of having to listen to this junk. There's 5 points here. I can answer them in under 3 minutes. Save you all that time. But you're right. John makes a good point. But you're going to have to make your own steak. Is really a steak worth it? I mean, seriously, to have to put up with that stuff. This one, ooh, I like that country club. It's a very nice country club. This invite is about the new tax plan. We're a little late. The new tax plan came out December of 17. So let's talk about that now. What are the key change? It's a year old. Okay, this one is 6 points under 4 minutes. The one thing that does jump out at me about this particular invitation is the disclaimer. There's a lot of fine print. Now, you and I have been raised that when you hear the phrase fine print, you know that something's wrong. In the world of fiduciary financial advisors, it's the opposite. If you have, I'm holding two invitations side by side. One has at the bottom a lot of fine print. A lot of fine print. Those gentlemen and ladies, I don't know, one or the other, I guess that wasn't very politically correct. One or the other, or some other variation, male, female, or something else, appear to be fiduciaries. And they are giving lots of detail about what is or is not going to occur because they are fiduciaries. The other has a waiver that says, no agents, brokers, or advisors allowed. And so, yeah, there's my reaction comes in two forms. Number one, clearly, six or seven lines of fine print seems like a lot, but it is an absolute indicator that those folks are almost certainly fiduciaries. And two lines, no attendees under age 40 and no agents, brokers, or advisors. Really? First of all, you're not a fiduciary. And second of all, yeah, I can't go under, you know, either of those. I can't go no matter what. Nobody under 40 and... You know what? Laughing right in my face was not appropriate. It was correct. It made sense, but it was harsh. And they don't want any agents, brokers, or advisors. Trust me, from the list of things that they're going to be talking about, annuities. The list of things that the questions are going to answer, annuities. The kinds of information, annuities, that you might be getting, annuities, is... The kind fix annuities. I'm not sure I could sit through a presentation like that. But what don't they want you to know? Are they fearful that a financial advisor, I don't know, maybe a guy with 780 years of experience, might show up and say, "You guys are bobos." Bobos is a technical term that we've often explored throughout the sophisticated training practice. All right, I kind of got myself in that. Bobos. Don't bring anybody under 40 because your kids might figure out that I'm giving you a line of hoo-ha. Don't bring an advisor. Don't bring a broker. Don't bring an agent. Don't bring anybody. Come and bring your checkbook. Why doesn't that just say bring your checkbook and try not to ask too many questions? How much time do we have? Two? Good. I'll make one more observation about these bobos. And then when we come back, I've got a fistful of emails. And, of course, 610-720-7900. I had clients in Thursday. They've been clients for a long, long time. And we help out with different charities and golf tournaments, and they're wonderful people. And had a particular annuity that kind of ran its course. They, in my opinion, need a different kind of an annuity. And we talked about it. We went through a lot of detail, put together some paperwork for them to look at. And her response was, "This is complicated." And my response was, "Damn straight. You are absolutely correct. That is the only intelligent response to evaluating annuities. This is complicated." It is without a doubt complicated. And the more that these bobos want you to believe that it's five simple answers and a check that you write to me, the more that you got to avoid that kind of stuff. Because these things are complicated. They are challenging. But with a little bit of work and a trusted advisor, a trusted fiduciary advisor, you can get through it. 610-720-7900. Gene@AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Back with you after this on More Than Money. Explanations galore. Welcome back to More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. It is January the 26th. Mr. John Elliott taking your calls this morning at 610-720-7900. And happy to serve you in any way that we are able. If you're just joining us, the balance of our show is posted to our website on Monday. Mr. Elliott packages these things up. Megan posts them to our website, so we get the podcast available for you so you can reference back. We had some great calls today with very, very interesting questions. If you'd like to review those are available absolutely free on our morethanmoneyonline.com website. If you're a tax client of More Than Money, you're going to want to make sure that you've received your super important email. Actually, it's referred to as the second annual super important email. And our good friend Dennis points out that in his case, it ended up in the spam folder. And so you might want to check your spam folder if you're a client and did not notice that you received it. And if you're either not sure about the spam folder part or just want to make sure that you get it, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. And we'll get that to you indeed. Our condolences to Dan Holtzman and his entire family and the loss of Dan's mom this past week. And we'll be attending, Diane and I and our girls will be attending his funeral for a young man, part of our church, his family. And he was very active in the church. Very difficult time, so your prayers will be much appreciated, much appreciated. 610-720-7900. Goodness. Okay, I'm going to put that aside for a moment. Gene@askmtm.com, 610-720-7900. In December, a young lady writes, in December, my husband sold a piece of land he owned with his brother and sister. The sales price was $310,000 and was split three ways. Ugh. They should have made it $309,000. Would have been so much easier. They got their land, the land from their father 7 or 8 years ago. Dad bought the land back in the early 70s. How is this treated for tax purposes? Very easily. It's not complicated at all. You will need to determine what your father-in-law paid for the land originally. That is your cost basis. Because it's land, there's not a lot of other factors. If it were a home, hey, in 1970, I paid $27,000 bucks for it. But over the years, I put another $50,000 into it. Oh, that adds to the basis. With raw land, that is almost never the case. It's not never. For example, if there was a well dug, perhaps there was a perk test run, perhaps there was some. In some cases, raw land has to be, the infrastructure has to be improved. There has to be a driveway put in, or there has to be curbing put in. In some cases, rare. It doesn't happen a lot. So if, for example, your father-in-law 30 years ago paid $30,000. I say 30 years ago. What? 50 years ago. Paid $30,000. Make it 40. You'll see in a second. He paid $40,000. They sold it for $310. The net gain is $270. There's three of them. Sometimes I blow myself away. I'm so good at this. $90,000 apiece. That's the capital gain. Pretty straightforward. Nope, there's no ifs. I'm thinking that's pretty straightforward stuff. Now there are circumstances where. Your husband, your brother, and his brother and sister look at each other and go, what the hell did Dad pay for that? How would we know? There's two things that you can do. You might look at some of his old income tax returns. He may have the settlement sheet in there. It's very common when people buy real estate. They look at the settlement sheet. They need it for tax return. It's in his tax file. That's number one. Number two, you might go to a title insurance company, have them look up the deed. Often there will be a sale price connected to the deed. John Elliott sells to Gene Dickinson a piece of land for $40,000 bucks. Very often, Not always. Now, the IRS says, tell us what the cost basis is. And these three folks go, we don't know. IRS says, no problem. Zero. Cost basis is, if you don't know and you can't show us, it's zero, which means you pay tax on everything. So if push comes to shove, you got no other documentation. Ouch. Which is why you're going to find documentation. You're going to find it. 610-720-7900. Gentlemen, I think. Can never tell. I'm 48. I have a 401k at work that matches half of what I invest up to 6% of my pay. I've been putting in 9%, getting the company 3%, so I get a total of 12 each year. That's really good. Good for you. I've got almost all my money in stock funds. They were doing really well until halfway through last year. Then they tanked. Tanked is another sophisticated financial term we use. I'm sure he has other terms, but he was being polite. Somehow I did end up the year with more than I started, however. I kept thinking I should be pulling out when the stock market was going down, but I never pulled the trigger. Should I pull some of the money out of stocks now? Interesting. Interesting question. The key here, he's 48. At least a 12-year time frame between now and early retirement. Without penalty, 59 and a half. So you're looking at roughly 12 years. So, no, not likely. With that kind of a time frame, you are likely more or better served having your money in the stock market. Whether you're in the right pieces of the stock market or whether you've just kind of shoved it all into one fund and kind of rolled the dice, I have no idea. And I would recommend that you sit with a financial advisor who knows what they're talking about in terms of fund selection, in terms of diversification, in terms of asset allocation, because even though you may have 8 or 10 funds in your 401k that are in the stock market, they are not typically all created equal. And so aligning them in some intelligent way makes a great deal of sense and will be a big advantage to you. And if you need personal or professional advice, that makes great deal of sense. I don't know what your actual contributions are. You're saying you're putting in 9%. 9% of 100 grand, which is a good salary, is 9,000 bucks. That's not the maximum. At 48, hopefully you can afford to put the maximum. So check that out and push towards the maximum. And if you're not interested in being active in the whole process, or if you're not interested in working with a financial advisor through the whole process, take a look at the target date funds. Depending on the quality of the company, some of the companies have very good target date funds. You can, it's kind of a set it and forget it kind of a process. You might benefit from that. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones and we talk to Betty. Betty, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
In my excitement of not having to itemize my deductions, I'm trying to make sure that I'm not missing something.
Sure.
On the medical this year, is it still 7.5% times your adjusted growth AGI, or is there something different there?
I believe that there is something different there. I apologize that I don't have that number in front of me. I'm going by memory. That there's a temporary rule in place for 2018, and 5% is sticking in my mind, but I absolutely can't confirm that at the moment. But what I can do is find out between now and next week, and
okay,
when I come back on next week, that will be one of the first things that we talk about.
Okay. I vaguely remember something like that, too, but there's so many ifs, ands, and buts, and by the time you're done, you don't know what they've said.
Oh, Betty, you are 100% correct. You have said it perfectly. If you read the IRS code, one paragraph, it starts saying yes, and by the time you get to the end of the paragraph, it says no. Your head will hurt. So we'll figure this out for you, and we'll make sure we bring it back next week.
Very good, Gene. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Betty. God bless.
Sure. Bye.
610-720-7900, morethanmoneyonline.com, and gene@askmtm.com. That all kind of works. Very, very nice. Mr. Greg, you want to jump in?
Yeah, Mr. Gene.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I have I've collected a couple different questions all about how financial advisors work. It's kind of more in the generic. Several came out of a discussion I had with a young lady who's considering our services. Several came in a discussion I had with a group when they found out I was a financial advisor. They had a lot of questions. I guess it's not exactly like being a doctor where hey, can you step into the cloakroom? I need to show you something. No, that's not typically. John, please. So fundamentally, do all financial advisors get paid the same way?
No. Good question, Gene, and pretty common question, actually. The answer is no. And it really depends on the services that are provided. Mm. Depends on the advisor, if they are a fiduciary or if they are a broker.
Sure.
There's commissions, there are management fees. There are different levels of fees that investors can pay for the services they would receive from an advisor or someone in the field.
So that my second question is, do they all charge the same fees? The answer is obviously from your first answer.
No.
No. Absolutely not. By the way, the voice that you're hearing, Mr. Greg Grillo, financial advisor extraordinaire.
Thank you.
He made me say that. It's seven extra dollars I have now. Nice. Just kidding. Come on. 20 plus years experience. And so you've seen a lot of different variations of financial advisors out there.
Correct.
From pure stockbrokers or insurance brokers to pure fiduciaries.
Right.
And they all want to get paid. We don't begrudge anybody getting paid. But sometimes how they get paid could create a tendency. They might tend to recommend certain things versus others. Have you seen that in your experience?
Unfortunately, yes. It's the industry, unfortunately, in some areas. Again, that's where the term fiduciary comes into play more than ever before. When you're working with an advisor or a broker or whatever term you want to use, you need to be aware of the services they're providing, the investments they're recommending, and really need to ask the question, how are you compensated? I mean, what incentive do you have to recommend one investment over the other or a particular strategy? And what's at the end of the day, what's the out-of-pocket cost to the investor?
Very good. Because quality human beings, quality advisors can legitimately be paid differently. But knowing what your out-of-pocket costs, knowing what it actually, what you're being nicked, it gives you at least a chance to compare apples to apples. One area, the frustration I have is off the chart because what they're doing is legal because they're not fiduciaries, is the fixed index annuity world where salesmen are turning to prospective clients. And in this case, it was the conversation I was having with a group of literally strangers, and they found out, oh, you're more than money. Actually, one lady, I said, hi, I'm Gene. She said, oh, you're more than money. I'd recognize that voice anywhere, which is kind of spooky, which kind of keeps me out of the confessional as well. She said she spoke to one of the other guys on the radio, fixed indexed annuity guy, who told her she pays him nothing. There's no cost whatsoever for his work. Not to worry because the company is paying him. And on some level, that just didn't smell right to her. Did it smell right to you?
No. I mean, there's always a cost to do business, and being transparent is really the name of the game. But that kind of raises an eyebrow when there's no fees, or you're being told there's no fees or cost up front, because that individual needs to get compensated by somebody.
His response would be, I'm being transparent. I'm being paid by the company, so the client's not paying anything. Here's, and I've been working on this morning, because when I review what, when I'm prepping for the show, I'm reviewing some of the emails that we've gotten or some of the questions. And some of them are just wonderful, and you can see where we can help so much. And others are frustrating because some of the bobos that are out there. Here's the example I've got. If a company of any kind takes $1,000 through the door, that's how much they have to work with. It's not more, not less. It's $1,000. If they pay Bobo Boy 10% commissions, $1,000, how much do they have left to benefit the client?
900.
This is not terribly tough math, which is why I was fairly confident I knew the right answer. It's $900. If, on the other hand, the commission that they were paying Bobo was 2%, how much do they have left to benefit the client? $9,800. So when Bobo says to a prospective client, it doesn't matter because you don't pay anything. Of course you do. Of course you do. Indirectly, I get that. If you're buying a house for $300,000 and it's being sold by a realtor and the realtor's charging a 6% commission, I get that it's quote-unquote coming out of the seller's side, but if there was no commission, what would the seller be able to sell you the house for? $18,000 less. So to suggest that the client is, suggest two things. Number one, that the salesman is a financial advisor. That's an insult to financial advisors. And number two, to suggest that because the check is coming from the company rather than the client, that the client's not paying, is either, and let's cut them a break, because it could just be abject ignorance. It just could be that this individual isn't bright enough to figure these things out. Or it might not be that nice. It might not be that nice. I got a booklet yesterday in the mail. We help people with everything. We've used fixed indexed annuities for clients where it's appropriate. We've used variable annuities for clients where it's appropriate. We use managed money about 85-90% of the time because that's most appropriate most of the time. But we will do whatever's in the best interest of our client, whatever that product may or may not be. So we're licensed to do everything, goodness. And I got a booklet, it's easily 60 pages of annuity contracts. And it's all, hey, look how much the commissions are on this product. Hey, look at how much the commissions are on that product. The frustration that we have in our practice is that not only do we not want to see our clients pay very high commissions, we don't want to be paid very high commissions. We are fundamentally financial advisors who get paid a small percent of the portfolios that we manage. And it's very frustrating that there aren't more fixed indexed annuities that will pay us a management fee versus a commission. Fortunately, through Ash Brokerage, we can access companies that have very modest commissions. But the folks, the Bobos, modest is not the word that they want in front of the word commission. Goodness. gracious. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Let me go back here for a second. This goes back to the end of December. I apologize. We didn't get to all of our emails back then. Hallelujah. Young gentleman, I believe, writes, I'm 29. I like to read financial magazines and papers. I think I've learned a lot about stocks. One of the things I've noticed is that stocks that are written about in magazines almost always go up. What do you think of a strategy where I buy the stocks that are highlighted in magazine articles? Oh, God bless you. That's kind of the opposite of insider trading. That's I'm going to trade on information everybody knows. I'm not going to try to find out behind the scenes. I'm going to wait until it's published in Money Magazine. Oh, goodness. Where do I start? How much time do we have? All right, then I can't do that. All right, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. This is a terrible idea. Is it true that stocks often will get a bump off of PR? Sure. Absolutely. That makes sense. Money Magazine mentions that PPL is doing well. It gets a bump. Kiplinger, it does. There's Forbes, Fortune, there's bunches of them. It gets a bump. Does it typically last? Answer is no. As a matter of fact, almost always it gets a bump and then it recedes back to slightly below where you bought it, because there's a lot of other folks who have kind of this same mentality of, hey, look at that. That sounds, and of course they're being, the stocks are being talked about positively, or you wouldn't consider buying them. So is this a good idea? No, not really. By the way, is insider trading, where you can locate somebody on the inside of a company to give you secret info, that's criminal. This is literally if you're following this gentleman's idea of hey, it was mentioned in Money, I think it's going to do well. Hey, it was mentioned in Kiplinger, it's going to do well. At least you're not going to go to jail. I mean, that's a good thing. John goes, well, maybe not. Uh-oh.
My question would be, what's the time lapse between when the article was written and when it was published?
Well, and what makes it worse, John, you're absolutely right. Because if you got your magazine in the mail today, the email version of that, the online version, came out 5 days ago. So you've already gotten crushed on the lag. And if you're saying, well, I'll just subscribe to the online version, so I'll get it before the print, that's a very good idea. And now you're only about a month past when it was sent in, or 2 months past when the printer first saw it and said, hey, Billy, this they say PPL's good. So it's just, commend this young man for doing his research, for getting educated, for asking questions. There are no silly questions. This is a very significantly appropriate question for a young man as he's building up his experience in stocks. Good for him. Whew. 2 hours indeed. We just have a couple minutes left in this edition of More Than Money. Greg, thanks for being part of the show.
No, thank you, Gene.
Appreciate you taking time out and
pleasure
being away from the family. And when you get back, tell Donna I said hey and all that good stuff.
Will do.
For everybody out there, if you need more information about anything, about investments, income taxes, estate planning, long-term care, Social Security, all of these reviews, all these second opinion meetings, absolutely free. All you have to do is ask. You can ask by sending me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. You can seek that kind of information on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can always go old school. You can give us a call, 610-746-7007, 610-746-7007. Folks, thank you so much for being part of this show. We wish you a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time on More Than Money.